Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The College Football Show on Football Full Circle, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens. He is the mastermind of the College Football Pigskin. That would be Joe Lisi. And Lisi, throughout this week, I have found myself walking around my apartment, walking around the streets, and I'll just smile. Smile widely as I walk through the streets. And nobody bothers me. They shouldn't mind me, and nor should they. Because I'm just smiling out of pure excitement when I think of the Week 7 Saturday slate of college football. It is going to be glorious. 6 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts. 3 that include teams that are 5-0 or better, perfect, unbeaten against one another. The second time that has happened in the history of this great sport of college football. Lisi, does it get any better?
No, not at all. I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, I'm geared up as well, Ben. I mean, yeah. I hope the weather in the Northeast has a little bit of a chill in the air. I want to throw on the sweater. We're going to do college football today. We're going to watch these games at noon. This is what it's all about. I mean, it really kicks off in a big way. Obviously, the Big Ten matchup between Penn State and Michigan, and then those 3:30 games, baby. Bama and Tennessee, and then on the flip side in the Big 12, Oak State and TCU. There's really nothing better than those particular matchups, and we'll see how it plays out to really dictate who's going to make it or break it in terms of the college football playoff.
Lisi, and the thing is, as we're at the midway point of this college football season, we've been saying it for the past 2 or 3 Saturdays now, that not only these individual games, but what their outcomes mean for the rest of the season, for conference championship races and the hunt for a spot in the college football playoff. All of that is what is meaningful this weekend. All of that is what is significant. So let's start in the SEC. Number 6 Tennessee hosts number 3 Alabama, my home sweet home on good old Rocky Top. The Volunteers and the Tide, Joe, but it's Alabama entering Knoxville this weekend as a touchdown favorite. Let's start with the biggest question in the room right now. Does the reigning Heisman winner in Bryce Young, the quarterback for the Tide, play? Joe, it's hard to know what Nick Saban will tell us when he decides to tell us anything. What do you think Bryce Young's status is for this upcoming Saturday against Tennessee?
Yeah, we talked about it on TMA. I'm leaning to like 70-30. I think, you know, there's a good possibility he can play or maybe limited action in that regard, but I still think Milroe gets some snaps in this ballgame because of his ability to put pressure on Tennessee's defense on the perimeter. We talked about 6.9 yards per carry for Alabama right now, highest since prior to 2009. We know the strength of Tennessee's front seven, but I still think Alabama looks to run the football with Gibbs and obviously the rushing attack, but then sprinkle in a little Milroe in terms of the RPO game as well. That'll give that Tennessee defense a little bit more to think of. So we'll see how it plays out. If I had a bet right here, right now, I think it's, you know, 70-30 that Bryce Young will see action this Saturday.
I would agree, Lisi. I think by Nick Saban having Bryce dress last week for the game against A&M was a small signal, if Nick Saban needed one, to say he's healthy. He could be out there, but we're going to run the football against A&M. And the game was dicey, obviously, coming down to the final play for A&M's offense. But the plan of attack, whether Bryce Young was in there or Jalen Milroe, adding that added advantage of the freshman utilizing his legs at the quarterback spot, was going to be on the ground against A&M's front because they're not very good. They entered the game giving up 170 yards, and Alabama ran for 288 in that matchup. Did not cover as a 23.5-point favorite, but did win the football game outright to improve to a perfect 6-0 record. Lisi, it's also fascinating when you think about all that Nick Saban is, and often pointing to the media and not revealing a lot about Alabama's game plan and saying what is out there, the outside noise, is rat poison. Well, it might be rat poison this week, truthfully, because we got this notice, Joe, from our executive producer, Chris Kofsky, on College Football Today. In our CFT group chat yesterday, he shared out this stat. Only 16% of the bets right now out in the public are on Alabama as the favored side on the road in Tennessee. When Alabama has been bet less than 50% of the bets in the last 7 years since the 2015 campaign, Joe, they are 12-5 against the spread. It would make it seem like Tennessee's the favorite side and Bama's the underdog based on where the action and the handle is so far.
Yeah, I mean, fans always want a team to back against Alabama, right? Nobody backed Texas A&M because of the performance against Miss State. We said that that was Texas A&M Super Bowl, and they cover, right? This goes back to the game last year. Remember, get your popcorn ready with Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. If you looked at that game, it was like basically 50-50 on both sides in terms of the public perception. They actually thought that Lane Train and Matt Corral had an opportunity, and what did Bama do? 42-0 in the third quarter. Same type of situation right now. I think the fans want to see Tennessee win, but this is the lowest line that you might get Bama over the past couple of seasons unless they're playing a team like Clemson.
And because of that public side, it has moved the spread. Tennessee opened as a 7.5-point dog. They are now just an even 7-point underdog. That touchdown number on Saturday in Knoxville against Alabama. Plenty more football full circle is up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. Week number 6 of the NFL season starts tonight on a Thursday in Chicago between the Bears and the Commanders. Now, Joe, we knew this game was on the docket. We knew it was on the schedule. Watching the atrocity that happened last week in Denver between the Broncos and the Colts, we were thinking, oh my God, we need to be saved. We need something to look forward to. And then the schedule appeared, and we're like, uh-oh, it's Washington and Chicago. Could it get any worse than last Thursday night? Joe, I'm not so sure, but I will say this. Having football is better than having no football. So at least there is that, and we build the excitement here on FFC.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? Two negatives sometimes equal a positive. I'm going to buy in that both offenses could put up points in terms of this matchup. I'm buying into Justin Fields. I'm buying into the over 37.5. I do like Chicago, and we talked about it in terms of where Washington is at this point in the season. I'm not backing down. I think they're a terribly coached football team offensively and defensively. It starts at the top with Carson Wentz as well, and more importantly, Ron Rivera. I just don't think they travel well tonight, and at the end of the day, I'm buying into the Bears home cooking. I think they win this ball game by a touchdown or more.
Joe, how about your boy Ron Rivera absolutely slandering and skewering Carson Wentz earlier this week, so much that he had to apologize when asked what the difference was in the NFC East, why teams like the Cowboys and the Giants, who are 4-1, and of course the unbeaten Philadelphia Eagles, who are a perfect 5-0, why they're having success and the Commanders are at the cellar, the bottom floor of the NFC East. He simply said, quarterback. Wild, especially with their defense being the 8th worst scoring defense in the National Football League. And that is more Ron Rivera's purview. So, Joe, as it pertains to tonight, we have seen some movement in this number. It's always been a short spread. It was 1.5 at its peak earlier this week in favor of the home team, the Bears at Soldier Field. But now it's moved past 0, then a little flippity flip. Washington, a slight 1-point favorite. But, Joe, it's a pick 'em game. Washington is -112 on the money line. Only 8 cents of difference to the underdog, in this case the Chicago Bears, at -104. Joe, do you think this will be competitive? It might not be the prettiest game in the world, but do you expect a good football game that's decided late?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I think it'll be competitive. I don't think that it'll be like this sloppy, you know, methodical, low-scoring game, because you have a team in Washington that has their backs against the wall. They really have to take some opportunity and really challenge Chicago over the top, right? If you're Chicago, at what point do you have to make an assessment? What do we have in Justin Fields? And we know what he is as a player, right? They have to start to evolve the offense around them. I don't care that there's no weapons there. You have to open up the playbook. You know, you can't run it, 70 times a game and say this is our franchise quarterback entering 2023. These are football players. They get played to play football. Open up the playbook and try to win and score points. So that's what I think we'll see tonight, Ben.
Here's the thing, Joe, that's so interesting, right? It's a 37.5 total. This will be the sixth game for Chicago this year. It is already their fourth total under 40 points. They are not a great scoring offense, tied for the fifth worst in the National Football League. The Commanders, the seventh worst scoring offense. That leads us to this total of 37.5. From the matchup perspective, two teams, though, offensively, Joe, that do things very differently. Chicago is the only team in the National Football League that runs the ball on 60% of its plays or more. Nobody else is even close, really, to that 60% clip. However, Washington throws the football the third most in the National Football League, 66.7% of the plays drawn up for Carson Wentz go through the air. So it's a very different matchup perspective from that angle, Joe, which of course then brings us into the prop market tonight, having that quarterback comparison. Justin Fields' number is very small, 170.5. The Bears are the worst passing offense in the National Football League. But 170.5, Joe, is a number that Fields has gone over in two straight weeks, including 220 last week on the road in Minneapolis. Probably his most impressive performance this year, Joe, and does bring some optimism for tonight. So that number seems a little bit low. Carson Wentz is at 220.5, and I saw this stat earlier. Carson Wentz in his career playing on a Thursday night, a perfect 5-0, Joe.
Yeah, I'm not buying into that, though. I know his record is good. I can't do it. The way they lost that game last week on the 2-yard line, Tennessee forces the interception. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on this team as a whole right now, and including Ron Rivera. You know, I think he made those comments, honestly, to take the pressure off of himself, right? Oh, there's always a fall guy. There is no fall guy. I mean, the quarterbacks outside of Jalen Hurts that are winning in the NFC East are not elite quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and obviously Cooper Rush. It's been a team mentality for both the Giants and Dallas, respectively. Where is the team mentality for Washington? There is none. They have no offensive identity. They're like segregated in the sense of, well, the quarterback's playing well on the road, or he's throwing the ball, but the defense isn't, you know, playing well in terms of run support. They are all over the place. There's no identity, and the defensively, I think they're completely shocked. So I'm not buying into Carson Wentz undefeated. At the end of the day, I'm betting the Bears tonight.
Joe, these two teams right now, two of the three worst odds to make the postseason in the NFC. The Commanders are plus 770. The Bears are plus 860. The only team with longer odds, the Seattle Seahawks. And at least they've given us some glimmers this year, but they're plus 1060. So the outlook for these teams the rest of the way is not all that promising. Both have a win total at 5.5. Both have the juice to the over. Chicago a little bit more on that at minus 135. The Commanders at minus 115. So what does success look like this year for these teams? I think for Chicago, it's continuing to see that improvement with Justin Fields at the quarterback position, and I'm not entirely sure what it is for Washington. One final thing for me here, Joe, because of the ground game for the Chicago Bears, you could look at David Montgomery, 60.5, Justin Fields, 39.5, a number he has gone over in three straight weeks. I look at juice. Khalil Herbert, the running back out of Virginia Tech, Joe, in his second year, who has been sensational. His number is 26.5. I think you're getting a discounted price. Why? Because last week you only had four carries for 11 yards against the Vikings. It was a lot of empty set for Justin Fields and that Chicago offense. David Montgomery under 2 yards per carry against the Vikes as well. It's an anomaly. Khalil Herbert has been over 26.5 in the first four games for Chicago this year. All four of them, including his lowest, Joe, was 38. He had a game where he ran for 157 yards week number three. He is averaging better than 65 yards on the ground. I think you're getting that low number of 26.5 for Juice Herbert tonight because of what happened last week. And we're going to bring the juice with Khalil Herbert this evening. Over 26.5, Joe, for his rushing yards prop. Probably one of my favorite bets of this game.
Yeah, very patient runner. Was a patient runner back in Blacksburg as well. Setting up blocks, he's very good in that regard and has great vision. I'll take Darnell Mooney. 46.5 at minus 110 either way. I think they attack through the air. That could open up the running game for Herbert later in this ball game. So we'll see how it plays out. How about Justin Fields' first touchdown score at 9-1, too, is a little appealing.
I like that idea. And the Bears, Joe, in four of their five games have found points on their opening offensive possession. The scripted plays under first-year OC Luke Getsy have been working out really well for this Chicago team. And, of course, Joe, there's some news around the National Football League today surrounding one of the teams in this Thursday night matchup. Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington organization, who has been under the review of the NFL and even Congress at times. He was subpoenaed by Congress to testify in terms of the sexual assault allegations levied against him that the NFL first brought and the House Oversight Committee was also looking into. A report, Joe, today on ESPN pretty much surrounding the idea that Dan Snyder is continuously on the hot seat, but Dan Snyder, the billionaire owner of the Commanders, has tons of dirt on Commissioner Roger Goodell and the 31 other NFL owners. So much so that in this report, Joe, he says, quote, they can't F with me. He is willing to bring people down if they try to force the sale of his franchise. We'll continue to update that story as new information becomes available, but these are things we've really known about the structure of how things are in Washington for a while. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back live right here on FFC, a huge Week 7 Saturday slate in college football. As we go around the country, Joe, again, six ranked versus ranked matchups, top 25 tilts. The premier game is going to be, for a lot of people, number six Tennessee hosting number three Alabama. It is a seven-point spread in favor of the road team in Rocky Top. That would be the Crimson Tide, and the over-under, Joe, is at 65.5. We were breaking down the matchup a little bit earlier on in the show. What I find fascinating is the strength of Tennessee, of course, is its offense. It is the top total offense in the country, averaging nearly 550 yards per game. It is one of the best passing offenses in the country with Hendon Hooker, who now has the third best price to win a Heisman Trophy, and they're the second best scoring offense, are the Vols, averaging nearly 47 points per game in all of college football. But Alabama's defense has been sensational this year, top six in terms of where they are in the total defensive standpoint, and really good on the ground as well. Joe, it's on the other side of the football I think this game will be won by, and I'd love your thoughts on it, and I know you'll focus on the ground game a little bit, but I think if Bryce Young plays, that's Alabama's best advantage, because Tennessee's passing defense is giving up more than 307 yards per game. It is the fourth worst in all of the country. Now, we'll have to see how effective Bryce Young is and how healthy he is with that injured right throwing shoulder, but that could be an area that I think Alabama can take the most advantage of. The Vols allowing less than 90 yards per game on the ground, Joe, but I know that you think Alabama's front and how good they have been running the football might be too much physicality for the Volunteers, regardless if it's Bryce Young or Jalen Milroe.
Yeah, it's an interesting chess match, right? Because I feel like Nick Saban is like Bill Belichick in the sense of they are the chameleon and they break tendency as well as anybody. So you game plan for a specific type of matchup or, let's say, type of philosophy, and all of a sudden Alabama comes out and utilizes different formations and different players that maybe you weren't accounting for at all times. We know the weakness of, obviously, Tennessee. That doesn't necessarily mean that they have to come out passing. They could come out passing. down in the middle of that defense. If they have success early, then all of a sudden you work off of play action. Now, if Bryce Young does play, I'm not saying that Bryce doesn't throw all but 10 passes in this game, but I think he's a little bit more under control in the sense of you don't want to get into a complete shootout with Hendon Hooker, because that, on the flip side, that sort of goes into their philosophy on what they want to do, right? They want to hit tempo. They want to run a lot of plays. They want to make sure that, you know, the game is high scoring and just continue to put the pressure on and get those playmakers chunk plays. So that's where I think we differ in terms of how this game plays out. Well, that is really interesting. I still believe that Alabama is one of the most physical teams in the interior. If you want to knock off the big boys, you have to step up in the interior lines. That's what Bama and Georgia do better than anybody. We'll see if Tennessee's up to the test. They did it against LSU last week because they jumped up early and negated the rushing attack early on. If they don't jump up early, that's where I want to see them shut down Alabama's rushing game. And if they do, they'll be inside the number, but I don't think they have the opportunity to do it. I'm still sold that Alabama's the most complete team, especially in this matchup. They roll and cover this number.
I can't wait to see what the props are, Joe. I cannot wait to see what those rushing yards numbers look like for Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm also enticed to see what the number is for Hendon Hooker, who obviously has one of the best arms in the SEC in all of college football. We saw that on display last week inside Tiger Stadium early when Tennessee got on the board, but he also utilizes his legs very well. And if it is going to be Jalen Milroe, what is that rushing yards prop like? Because in his big amounts of duty this year, in terms of when he had to fill in for Bryce Young against Arkansas in that game against the Hogs 2 weeks ago, six carries, 91 yards, and a touchdown, 17 rush attempts, Joe, for 81 yards against A&M last weekend. Again, Alabama ran the ball for 288 yards. And, Joe, obviously a significant, significant game within the SEC. But even from the odds, Joe, even though Tennessee is deserving of being the number six team in the country and is deserving of this praise that the Vols have felt from the public betting market, they're still over $7.5 behind where Alabama is with the second best price in the SEC. It's Georgia as the favored team, Joe, at even money plus 100. Then it's Bama at plus 125. And then it is the Volunteers at 9-1. It's the first time we've seen another team in the SEC, Joe, with a three-digit price. But with that being said, there's still that distinction, or at least it feels there is still that distinction at the top of the SEC.
Yeah, everybody's rooting for Tennessee. Don't you get that feeling? It's like the public, and we know the money's there, but even the average fan wants to think that Tennessee is back to the days of 1998. This is what it's all about. I think when you look at the SEC as a whole, we talked about it as well. Outside of Tennessee, Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss is going to get their shot in a couple of weeks against Alabama, and it's going to be after Alabama plays Will Rogers and Miss State. I don't think Will Rogers and Miss State pose the issue. I know they're playing above their heads right now. We'll see how they play against Kentucky. But I think if there is another team outside of Tennessee, I go to Lane Kiffin because I think he's a good coach. I think he'll learn about what he did differently or wrong in last year's matchup. And then, obviously, you might get a better game plan. So I would buy into Jackson Dart potentially being the team to challenge Bama later in the year.
It is interesting, Joe, because this Ole Miss team looks different than last year's Ole Miss team. This Ole Miss team is built even more on the defense than they were a season ago and built on the ground game. They're one of the best rushing offenses in all of college football, and the TCU transfer in Zach Evans is a big reason why. But again, Alabama is the eighth best rushing defense in the country, only giving up 84.5 points per game. But that's down the road. So let's bring it back to week seven. You mentioned Mississippi State. They are one of those other six games, ranked versus ranked, 16th ranked Bulldogs on the road in Lexington, Joe, against number 22, Kentucky. If there's a will, there's a way. And that's what Kentucky is saying this week, with Will Levis expected to return at the quarterback position for the Cats. He'll face off against another Will. Will Rogers, the nation's leading passer right now, the quarterback for Mike Leach, the Pirate, and Mississippi State. Joe, the line has reflected the fact that Will Levis is expected to be back in this football game, but Kentucky's still a 4.5-point dog at home in Lexington. What's your approach?
I'm taking the dog. They flip-flop results and wins and losses every other year since 2015. Missed 8-1 last year. Will Levis obviously gives that offense an added dimension. Sharon couldn't challenge South Carolina over the top. We know that Kentucky's not running the football consistently, only 92 yards per game. But I still buy into Levis. I buy into the wide receivers. I love those wide receivers. Britton Brown and obviously Tavion Robinson. Just feed those guys, baby. Let me tell you, they are going to be players on the next level. But at the end of the day, I still think Kentucky playing at home in Lexington is a sneaky team. You know, I know they didn't step up last week, but the last time KJ Costello and Miss State were there against Mike Leach's offense, they threw six picks and lost 26-2. So Mark Stoops typically keeps that the offense in check. I'm going to take the dog outright in Lexington.
Oh, I like the look, Joe Lisi. A bold take to take Kentucky on the money line. But listen, last week, probably with a backup quarterback, you should still beat South Carolina. They lost that game by double digits. They were still booked as a 4.5-point favorite. A tough game against Ole Miss in the Grove the weekend before, Joe, and that game stayed under. Again, Kentucky's defense is still very, very good. Kentucky has a top 15 passing defense, Joe, only giving up a 174 through the air. That will be huge to stop Will Rogers in the passing attack of the Bulldogs. They throw the football the most in all of the country. 66.2% of the plays that Mike Leach calls are through the air. It has been his strategy. It has been the air raid the entirety of his time as a college football coach. That is going to be a great game. And again, the total working in the way of the Cats as the dogs at home with Kentucky right now, Joe, only a 4.5-point underdog, the total at 48 in a hook. Let's keep diving through the country here, Joe. A top 10 tilt in the Big House in Ann Arbor. Number 10, Penn State. Number 5, Michigan. The line has worked in favor of the Nittany Lions, but they are still the underdogs on the road, Joe. It's a 6.5-point spread, though. It opened higher than a touchdown. 6.5, Joe, single score game indicated by the odds. Do you think we see that on Saturday in Ann Arbor?
I think it's a close game. Absolutely. I think Penn State wins it. I do. I think they're the better team right now, and call me crazy, but I love their ability to pound the rock. I love those running backs in terms of Allen and Singleton. And at the end of the day, even though Michigan is 11-0 in the Big House over the last year and a half, dating back to last season, I still think Penn State will be well within this number. I like their defense. 29% third down conversions in terms of opposing offenses. That's huge carrying on the road. And they have the veteran quarterback in Clifford. I mean, you love him or hate him, he's still there 6 or 7 years. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to be battle tested. As long as he's healthy, I think Penn State wins this ball game.
Joe, it's such a good point you bring up. The similarities between these two teams as they enter this matchup, both ranked in the top 10 in the country, both teams that could contend with Ohio State in the Big Ten East right now and ultimately for a Big Ten championship. And both teams, Joe, built on the run this year. For Michigan, they have one of the best backs in the entire country, Blake Corum. He is tied for the 6th best price to win the Heisman Trophy at 20-1. It is the best odds of any non-quarterback on the board right now because he's a big play threat anytime he touches the football, and he has been sensational really the entirety of the season, but in the last 3 weeks, Joe, when they have needed him the most against the best competition because the Wolverines' non-conference schedule was that of a cakewalk. With that being said, Blake Corum has risen to the occasion, but it's Blake Corum and it's Donovan Edwards. And on the other side for Penn State, it is that revamped rushing attack. That was the reason I felt highly about this Nittany Lions offense entering this year. Katron Allen, Kevon Lee, and the outstanding freshman in Nicholas Singleton. We'll continue the breakdown of Penn State and Michigan. All a ton more to come from college football as we get ready for Week 7 on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Football Full Circle. Joe, we're breaking down the big game in the Big House in Ann Arbor in the Big Ten on Saturday. One of the 6 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts we have, and one of the 3, Joe, that feature teams a perfect 5-0 record or better facing off against one another. Michigan 6-0, Penn State 6-0, going toe to toe on Saturday in Ann Arbor. And Joe, I was breaking down the rushing attacks for both teams. It's Blake Corum, one of the best backs in the country, alongside Donovan Edwards for Michigan. And then on the other side, it's the three-headed attack: Katron Allen, Kevon Lee, Nicholas Singleton. And that outstanding freshman, Nick Singleton, has been a huge, huge spark for this Mike Yurcich and Penn State offense. So, Joe, I think it's pretty even when you look at the running game, because both defenses right now, in Penn State and Michigan, are two of the top seven rushing defenses in the country, both allowing less than 80 yards per game. So you brought this up. Sean Clifford, that veteran experience as a quarterback, what that will mean in this big game scenario, as opposed to the other side. It's not Cade McNamara, who led Michigan to a Big Ten title and a college football playoff spot last year. It's the sophomore in J.J. McCarthy, making by far, Joe, the biggest start of his career.
Absolutely, and this is why, Harbaugh put in McNamara, because of his ability to challenge defenses over the top. They were sort of capped out with McNamara. McCarthy gives them an added dimension. He's a little more versatile, a little bit stronger arm. They could do a little bit more, but we have to see it right now, because I think the matchup is, in that passing game, the secondary led by Joey Porter Jr. matching up against the wide receivers. You know, if Penn State wins on first and second down, and you have the long third down situations, that takes the running game, obviously, out of Michigan's arsenal, right? That's where Michigan is always effective. So which secondary do we really buy into? Are we buying into Penn State on the road, or Michigan, that technically up until this point really hasn't been challenged by, I want to say, a sophisticated or an above average passing game right now in the Big Ten?
Even Indiana, Joe, that throws the football the second most in the country. We detailed Mississippi State earlier, 66.2% of the time. Indiana throws it 65.97%, rounded up to 66%. But it's not great in how they throw the football. Even last week, they threw the ball in 69% of their plays at home in Bloomington against Michigan, when that game was pretty close.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all that effective. It wasn't all that impressive. It wasn't all that high octane down the field with Connor Bazelak and the Hoosiers passing attack. It will be a huge matchup. And you're right, there are questions about Sean Clifford. Trusting Sean Clifford on the road in a big spot is an interesting one, but I would give him the edge based on experience against J.J. McCarthy. And if everything else is pretty even, and I think Penn State's secondary is a little bit better than that of Michigan, it was the strength so far entering this year, and that front seven has really come to play as well. Hello, P.J. Mustipher, in the middle of that Penn State defensive line. I think, Joe, I'm starting to lean with you. I think Penn State keeps this within margin. Are they going to win the football game? I don't know. And that 51.5, where the under has the juice right now at minus 122 for a total, I would lean where that is going. This is going to be a Big Ten football game. Penn State and Michigan might not be Illinois and Iowa, but it is going to be a Big Ten football game through and through. And it will have huge ramifications for the Big Ten title race, although Ohio State is still minus 310 to win the conference, along with Clemson, the best odds of any team to win any conference in all of college football right now. Michigan, the second best price at plus 650. Penn State, the third at 12-1. And the Wolverines do have tied for the fifth best number to win the national championship as well, Joe, at plus 20 to 1, excuse me. So let's continue to dive through, Joe, some of these games. From the Big Ten to the Big 12 we go. In the third and final unbeaten versus unbeaten matchup, two teams at 5-0 or better. It's TCU 5-0, Oklahoma State 5-0, facing off against one another. Oklahoma State, Joe, has already had one of these opportunities earlier this year in a Big 12 title game, or in a Big 12 conference game, that will have huge title game implications as a road underdog. And the Pokes showed up and showed out in Waco against Baylor. Yes, the defense has left a little bit to be desired, but they win that football game outright, putting them in this position. It's 8th-ranked Oklahoma State, Joe, and 13th-ranked TCU. And the Pokes, once again, a 3.5-point underdog.
Yeah, this is my team, and I thought they played very well in Waco, struggled a little bit with a gutty Texas Tech team, pulled it out in the fourth quarter. That was a little bit too close for comfort, and obviously with Donovan Smith not getting the start, it was the backup, the third stringer. He played lights out in that ball game. But here's the thing. I still think, again, what travels well in a big spot Rushing attack, Dominic Richardson, solid defense. That's what Oak State has, right? Spencer Sanders, mobile. We have two big play wide receivers, Brennan Presley and Braden Johnson. This is a TCU defense last year that was absolutely atrocious, right? And I don't think Sonny Dykes coached it up that much more from what we saw last year. I just don't think they have been challenged as much. We know Oklahoma's a glass house at this point. I don't think Oklahoma State is. I think they're the most complete team in the Big 12. They won 63-17 last year. Give me Oak State. I think they win the ball game outright.
Joe, both of these teams can score the football. Both are tied for the third best scoring offense in all of the sport, only behind Ohio State and Tennessee, two teams ranked inside the top six as well. And you look at Oklahoma State, they're averaging 46.4 points per game. You look at TCU, the same number, 46.4 points per game. It's so interesting to me, Joe. You see this Oklahoma State team now versus where they were last year when they made it to the Big 12 title game on the brink of a college football playoff appearance. Of course, Desmond Jackson inches short of a conference title and a potential spot in the CFP. But that was a defensive first team, and by a pretty good margin, a defense that ranked in the top 10 in both scoring defense and total defense a season ago. Now, Joe, Oklahoma State giving up close to 423 yards per game, 304 through the air, the sixth worst passing defense in all of the country. But you're right, TCU that struggled last year under Gary Patterson, leading him to leave his post as the head coach when he had built a defensive team first and foremost during his career in Fort Worth. So much so, Joe, they put up a statue of the guy before he even retired or left his job as head coach. TCU's still giving up 403 yards per game. They're still giving up 268.8 through the air and 134 on the ground. It's not like they're a defensive stalwart either. They just can score, as can Oklahoma State. So, Joe, that total of 68.5 is also a very interesting number. It's lofty. It looks like an old Big 12 total, but we had seen this league trend toward defense the last couple of seasons. It might be anything but on Saturday in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think I lean to the over here. I know both offenses are explosive. I think Oklahoma State will be able to obviously dictate the tempo and win this ball game consistently and obviously, you know, handily. I think they win anywhere from, 10 to 13 points. But I think they get there. So we talked about it. I think they can get into the high 40s. I think TCU maybe gets into the low 30s. And at the end of the day, you have yourself over in terms of 68.5. I mean, expecting them to put up 90 according to their offensive output right now, I think that's a little bit too much, but we see these Big 12 games all of a sudden get out of control. Look at Texas Tech and Oak State last week. Would they put up 90 in that ball game or not close to it? So you can never say never. I would say I'm over the 68.5 under the 90 in this ball game.
All right. I think the under 90 alternate total is a good look as well. TCU, Joe, the third best total offense in the country, 530 yards per game, and a top 10 rushing offense as well. But if there is a strength of the Cowboys defense, it is more so on the ground than that of their passing defense so far this season. And again, these individual games are huge. It's awesome to see a top 15 tilt back in Fort Worth between the Horned Frogs and Oklahoma State. Two unbeaten sides, but it is going to have severe implications for the Big 12 because Texas, Joe, is the favorite in the Big 12 conference, although the Longhorns have already lost a conference game, two games so far this season, including the non-conference affair in Austin against Alabama. Oklahoma State and TCU, though, just 20 cents behind UT, tied for the second best price, both the Pokes and the Horned Frogs, at plus 270. So, Joe, I would say, and I felt this way after Oklahoma State beat Baylor, that whoever wins this football game in Fort Worth on Saturday is the true team in pole position to win the Big 12, although it seems right now, Joe, with Quinn Ewers back and healthy, Texas might have something to say about that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I know they're hitting on all cylinders,
Lacy. I know what you're leaning.
I will say, they obviously look very good against Oklahoma. I don't know what happened to Oklahoma. We have to search through that in terms of seeing where they end out the regular season. But that was a dynamic effort offensively and defensively. Quinn Ewers played lights out, 21-31, 289, and four touchdowns.
Yeah.
I think they're headed in the right direction, okay? I will say that. If the defense can take the next level, I'm not all of a sudden going to anoint Texas the best team in the Big 12 just because Quinn Ewers is back at the helm. They have a very difficult matchup against Iowa State. Iowa State has won 3 straight. Iowa State matches up well from a defensive perspective. 29% third down defense, 91 rushing yards allowed. They're going to get Texas into an ugly game. They beat them up last year 30-7. So I'm calling for the upset, Iowa State outright over Texas this weekend. I'm not buying into Steve Sark. Maybe they get to 9-3 this year and prove me wrong, but I'm calling for the upset. I think Oklahoma State's the most complete team in the Big 12, too.
I love it, Lisey guy. Every Saturday to round out hour number 2 of College Football Today, the show that Lisey and I are a part of alongside with our good friend Kevin Walsh, we do something called Go for the Loot. It's a super underdog money line play, something that has to be at least plus 200 or greater in those money line odds. Texas is a 15.5-point favorite in Austin against the Cyclones. Iowa State money line is plus 530. There's a little preview to join us on College Football Today because Lisey is looking for the big plus money prices. All right, from the Big 12 to the Pac-12, Joe, a huge game in Salt Lake on Saturday night. Utah, a 3.5-point favorite, ranked 20th in the country. A disappointing result last week in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, but they go back home and host 7th-ranked USC. Again, 3.5 points, not in favor of the Trojans, Joe, who are tied for the 5th-best price to win a national championship. 3.5 points in favor of the Utes. Is the right side favored?
Yeah, they are. I think they're going to dominate this ball game in the trenches. Mm. This is the type of game that they wanted last week with UCLA. They couldn't get into it because they fell in a deficit, but I don't buy into USC in terms of the rush defense. Statistically, they've gotten better in back-to-back wins over Arizona State and Washington State last week, but I'm not buying in because I think Tavion Thomas came back. I think they rush him. They give him the ball 25 to 30 times, and Lincoln Riley, you want to go to a college football playoff appearance, you got to stop the run, and we'll see if USC can do it. I'm all into Utah. I think it's a close ball game, but at the end of the day, I'm buying into the Utes to win it maybe 7 to 10 points. I think it could be a one score field goal game, and Utah adds a late touchdown. There's the win, there's the cover.
Lisey, right now, Utah last week against UCLA ran the ball 43 times for 192 yards. I bring that up because we mentioned it last week, breaking down the game between the Bruins and the Utes. Utah still wants to have that physical presence. Utah still wants to run the football first and foremost. Right now, Utah is running the ball on 56% of their plays. This will be the toughest test for SC, whose rushing defense has been called under question. However, they do have the most sacks of any team in college football this year, with one of the higher turnover rates as well. Plenty more from around the Pac-12 up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a few more minutes left right here on Football Full Circle to preview the Week 7 slate in college football. Back to the pack. The Pac-12, Joe, Utah and USC. A 3.5-point spread in favor of the Utes late on Saturday night in Rice-Eccles, an 8 p.m. Eastern time kick. The total 64.5. Although Utah brings that physicality, Joe, we have seen them score points and also allow points to be scored against them, like the 42 big ones UCLA put up last week. Joe, what is so interesting to me about this game, Utah is favored. USC is no longer the favored team to win the Pac-12. That would be Oregon. Oregon has bounced back in a big way, obviously, since the season opening loss to Georgia in a very disappointing first half against Washington State. The reason I think, Joe, Oregon is favored is, yes, they have to take on UCLA, but they don't have SC on the schedule, and they host Utah the second to last Saturday of the college football season. So let's say, Joe, the odds follow suit. Utah wins this weekend. At least they are expected to do so, minus 178 on the money line. What havoc does that cause in the Pac-12?
Well, it causes a lot for USC now because right. USC, if they lose this game, they still play, obviously, UCLA at the end of the year. Can they obviously be the top two teams in the conference remains to be seen. They play Notre Dame. That's a non-conference game, but that'll hurt their playoff appearances. In terms of the Pac-12, they could still probably get there. They just have to knock off UCLA at the end of the year. For Utah, right. they have a lot more work to do, right? They would need Oregon to drop a game. Now, Oregon and UCLA play, so it would be more difficult for Oregon. I'm still saying this. I think USC is out. I think UCLA is definitely in, and we'll see how it plays out over the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Lisi has been all over the Bruins all summer, all season long. UCLA, when Lisi said they're going to win the Pac-12, was 12-1. Now UCLA has the third best price at 3-1. They're off this week, and they take on Oregon next Saturday. So much excitement coming your way this college football season. That does it for us here on FFC. Keep it locked on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.